This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Now, here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 with part 1 of his message entitled, The Final Four.
Have you noticed that so much comes in fours? Have you noticed this? East, west, north, and south? Summer, fall, winter, and spring. Right, left, up, and down. Meat, milk, fruit, and vegetables. Diamonds, hearts, clubs, and spades. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Earth, wind, fire, and water. How about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Even Paul, John, George, and Ringo. For Kathy and I, it's Zach, Nat, Nick, and Mac. And of course, every year at the end of March, college basketball sort of wraps up its season by showcasing its four hottest teams in a playoff for the national title. Championship weekend is called the Final Four. And in a sense, this is what Paul does in these closing verses of Ephesians. He summarizes his whole letter with a final four. Peace, love, faith, and grace. You see, all the Christian life can be summed up by these final four blessings. I've entitled this morning's message, The Final Four, or perhaps a better title, The Fab Four. Paul reminds us of God's peace and love, of our faith, and of God's grace. But first, he speaks of the man who delivered his letter. He mentions his buddy, Tychicus, in chapter 6, verse 21, and there's where we'll begin reading. But that which you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, will make all these things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Now, it was customary for the Apostle Paul to dictate his letters to a penman, to a stenographer. But when he had finished the main body of his message, he would take the quill in hand, and he would write his closing comments himself. And this is what he does here. And the first thing he writes about is the man who has been writing for him. Tychicus was one of Paul's most trusted allies. He was probably Paul's penman. Almost certainly, he was Paul's postman. He delivered this letter from Rome to Ephesus, and along with it brought news from Paul. On the same journey, Tychicus delivered the letters to Colossae and Philemon. He may have actually been from Ephesus. Here he's referred to as a beloved brother. It's possible he was converted by Paul's witness. Certainly, Paul had few friends more loyal than Tychicus. He accompanied Paul on his last trip to Jerusalem, where you remember Paul was arrested by the Jews. He then stayed with Paul for the 2 years he was in prison in Caesarea. And Tychicus eventually sailed with Paul to Rome. Some scholars speculate that Tychicus was so devoted to Paul that he volunteered to be Paul's slave. In the Roman Empire, the only persons allowed to officially travel with a prisoner were his slaves. And it's just interesting to contemplate, Tychicus may have forfeited his own personal freedoms to assist Paul in his ministry. Tychicus was certainly a behind-the-scenes saint. Luke never records him working a miracle or even preaching a sermon. Paul was the out-front guy, the one leading the charge. Tychicus was a loyal assistant. His main activity was running errands for Paul. In verse 21, Paul here refers to him not only as a beloved brother, but as a faithful minister. The Greek term there for minister is diakonos or deacon, which means servant. Perhaps Tychicus served the church in the official office of a deacon. Whether he did or not, we're not sure, but we do know that Paul's friend definitely had a servant's heart. In 2010, the San Francisco Giants won baseball's World Series. And it was a big deal. First time in 52 years. Think of all of the baseball greats who played ball on the Bay. the Willies, Mays and McCovey, the Bonds, Bobby and Barry, Juan Marichal, and Orlando Cepeda, and Philippe Lou, and Will Clark, even Tim Lincecum. But it wasn't a star who delivered the World Series trophy to the players in the locker room there in Arlington, Texas. It wasn't a star who got the honor. It was their longtime equipment manager. Mike Murphy has cleaned spikes and mended pants and ordered bats and rubbed up baseballs for the Giants since 1958. Murph was there not only in the good times, but in the bad times as well. After the World Series win, General Manager Brian Sabian remarked, "When I saw him on the field afterward, I got teary-eyed. Murph is as important to this organization as anyone. He makes players feel comfortable in a family way, and that should not be overlooked." Murphy was allowed the honor of handing over the World Series trophy to the Giants. And after delivering the celebrated trophy to the celebrating players, Murph turned to a clubhouse attendant and pointed to some equipment bags that needed to be loaded onto a truck and said, "Get to work." And just like that, still drenched with champagne, Mike Murphy was back to being a servant. No wonder he has a name plaque that sits on his desk that reads, "Mike Murphy, Character Builder." It is a special man, a special woman who can find their success in the shadow of another person. Yet this was Tychicus. We would call him a support person or an assistant, but there is little doubt. Paul would not have been the man he was without the loyal support of Tychicus and other such assistants like Timothy and Titus. You see, to get the full picture of the role that Tychicus played in the apostle's life, recall 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There Paul itemizes his trials, the difficulties that he had endured over his lifetime. He says, "In journeys often, in perils often, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Now, you need to remember that Tychicus was with Paul and shared in many of these perils. You see, Paul and Tychicus were more than just casual acquaintances or even close friends. They occupied the same foxhole. They were more like army buddies. The trials that they had endured bonded their hearts for life. It reminds me of the Lone Ranger and his sidekick, Tonto. You know, our VBS is all about favorite friendships of the Bible. Well, the Lone Ranger and Tonto were one of television's greatest friendships. Think of all of the scrapes and the near misses and the harrowing experiences they overcame together. I mean, every afternoon. That's why Tonto had a special name he used for the Lone Ranger. You remember what he called him? Kemosabe, which means faithful friend. This describes the relationship between Paul and his sidekick, Tychicus. They were Kemosabes in Christ. Hey, let me encourage you. If you've been blessed with such a friendship, please don't neglect it. Certainly don't take it for granted. Nothing is more valuable than a true Kemosabe. You know, some people go their whole life long without experiencing this kind of friendship. That's why it amazes me how easily folks who are blessed to find such a relationship will jeopardize it by prioritizing other interests. Oh, they'll relocate at the drop of a hat, or get distracted by some hobby, or clam up, or let little things cause a split. Then one day they wake up, and the friendship they once valued isn't what it used to be or could have been. Listen to the quote from one older man nearing the end of his life. He writes, "What counts most as I look back over the years are not my accomplishments, but rather the friends who worked with me as partners in these accomplishments. The funny thing about it all is that the quality and quantity of those accomplishments are now fuzzy and unimportant in my mind, while the friendships remain crystal clear in my memory." You see, a true friendship requires great effort. real friends don't just drop in your lap. They have to be developed. I love the description offered by actress Susan St. James. She writes this: friendship is like putting on pantyhose. You have to get one foot in and then the other, and wiggle around and tug until you get it right. And then pretty soon you say, I love these pantyhose. They fit. That sort of give and take occurred between Paul and Tychicus. You know, they had to invest in each other's lives. They had to work out their problems. They had to work on their friendship. You see, you don't endure the hardships they were forced to face without making an investment in each other and a commitment to each other. Through all that they experienced, they forged a friendship. To me, it's no accident that Paul mentions his friend Tychicus after his thoughts on spiritual warfare. All the battles that they had fought together, the attacks they had endured together, the wounds they had suffered together, the victories they had won together, this all cemented their friendship. This is why if you don't have a Kemosabe in Christ, a really committed Christian friend, I've got to ask you, have you gotten involved in your church? Have you jumped into a foxhole? Have you prayed next to someone and for someone? Or have you been sitting at home, afraid to enlist, content to let others fight the spiritual battles for you? See, Paul knew that true friends have to be cultivated. I mean, why do you think Paul is sending this letter to the Ephesians? He loved this church, and he wanted to see his friends grow and abound in God's blessings. In Paul's day, writing was painstaking. Parchment was costly. Delivery was by foot. And yet Paul saw the advantage, and he made the effort to stay in touch. He writes them this letter. Remember the old jingle, I went out to find a friend, but could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. Paul wrote an actual letter with paper and ink to cultivate a friendship. The least we can do is send an email or shoot a text. What old friend or potential new friend is God laying on your heart today, prompting you to make contact? Don't lowball the value of Kemosabes in Christ. Which brings us to verse 23, the Fab Four. Here's Paul's final four: peace, love, faith, and grace. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Now, Paul is praying a fourfold blessing on these Ephesians. He's praying for gifts that he wants his friends to possess. Bible commentator Alexander McLaren wrote of this passage, there is no better test of a man than the things he wishes for the people he loves the most. He desires for them his own ideal of happiness. What do you desire most for those that are dearest to you? It's true. What I desire for others reveals my own priorities, my own idea of what glory and riches and happiness consist of. I mean, if an angel came to you tomorrow and granted you one wish for your family and friends, what would it be? Would it be fame, success, money, love, happiness? Would your wish be material or spiritual in nature? Well, Paul wants his friends in Ephesus to possess spiritual wealth, and he has four blessings in mind: peace and love and faith and grace. First, he mentions peace. Peace to the brethren. I remember reading years ago of an elderly couple who were set to retire. It was at the height of the Cold War, and they were concerned about the nuclear threat. And so before moving, they studied all the regions of the world to find the place that was most likely to avoid war. Finally, they decided on the Falkland Islands, just off the coast of Argentina. They moved in late 1981, a few months before this isolated island became a battleground between Great Britain and Argentina. It proves there is nowhere you can run from hostility. For years, Atlantans have been moving to crime-free Lake Oconee. where a few months ago they found a man decapitated in his garage and his wife's murdered body floating in the lake. The killer's still on the loose. My point is there no place on earth where you can escape the consequences of sin? Realize the only real peace we can confidently count on is the peace that Jesus brings. The Bible refers to Jesus as the Prince of Peace. The reason there's friction on the horizontal plane between man and his fellow man is because of the friction that sees on the vertical plane between man and God. Human beings fight each other on the outside because we fight against God on the inside. Ravi Zacharias was one of a group of Christian leaders who traveled to the Middle East to meet with members of Hamas, the pro-Palestinian Islamic terrorist group who has vowed the destruction of Israel. The Christians were on a peace mission. They were trying to reason Israelis and Hamas to the peace table. Their group was having dinner with a founder of Hamas, Sheikh Talal. He spoke of his imprisonment and that he had lost his children through suicide bombings. When Ravi spoke, he asked about the Sheikh's thoughts on using his children as suicide bombers. Well, after the man answered, Ravi Zacharias continued. He said, "Sheikh, you and I may never see each other again after tonight, so I want you to hear me. A little distance from here is a mountain on which Abraham went 5,000 years ago to offer his son. And as the axe began to fall, God said, 'Stop, I myself will provide.'" The Sheikh nodded his head in agreement. Ravi continued his reasoning. He said, "In a very close to where we're sitting, Sheikh, there is a hill. 2,000 years ago, God kept that promise and brought his own son. And the axe did not stop this time. He sacrificed his own son. And until you and I receive the son God provided, we will be offering our own sons and daughters on the battlefields of this world for land and power and pride." Ravi Zacharias said that as he spoke, the Sheikh's lips started quivering. No one said a word after he'd finished, but as they left, this man kissed Ravi on both cheeks and said to him, "I hope to see you again someday." But for that day, Ravi Zacharias had made his point. Until our hatred for each other is replaced with God's love and grace, we'll never be able to forgive one another and live in this world in peace. War will continue. We'll sacrifice our own sons on the altar of prejudice and pride because we fail to humble ourselves and accept the Son of God who was sacrificed for us. This is the point Paul made earlier in Ephesians chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 14, he wrote of Jesus that he has broken down that wall of separation between people groups by reconciling us to God. Paul said, Jesus himself is our peace. That means that when you embrace Jesus and when I embrace Jesus, we embrace each other in a very real way. He is the commonality that transcends our differences. And this is how Jesus brings together Arabs and Jews and blacks and whites and women and men and young and old and husbands and wives and parents and children and brothers and brothers. He really does offer us a supernatural peace. For some people, when they give their life to Jesus, they're freed instantly from cigarettes or even from cocaine. For me, I experienced a different kind of deliverance. 36 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. I became brand new inside. And from that moment onward, all of the bigotry I had ever held in my heart for people different from me disappeared. It was gone. I was liberated, free to love. God's love took over my life. From that moment on, I have seen people differently. And it was miraculous, every bit as much as if I'd been freed from alcohol. You see, this is the peace that Jesus promises us in John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you," Jesus said. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." I mean, the treaties negotiated by this world are only ceasefires. They end the hostilities long enough for both sides to reload. Human contrived peace is temporary and superficial. It sends the fighters back to their corners until the next round. But it doesn't give them a reason to be friends. Whereas the peace that Jesus brings buries the hatchet once and for all. His cross resolves the conflict. In fact, the peace of God runs deep. It runs so deep. It's not dependent on an outward truce or a situational calm. It's spiritual and inward. God's peace transcends our circumstances. Think of a violent storm at sea. The winds and the waves are churning on the surface of the water. Anything caught in the white caps is in for a wild, tumultuous ride. But now dive deep. Go deep to the ocean floor, and you'll find a world undisturbed by the turmoil on the surface. And this is the secret of God's peace. Don't look for peace in the midst of circumstances. No, go deep with Jesus. Dive into the sea of God's love, and you'll find a secret place of calm and composure. If you want God's peace, the answer is depth. Author Kent Hughes writes, "For those who have not experienced this peace, no words will suffice. For those who have experienced it, no words will quite do." This kind of miracle peace is a blessing from God, and it's Paul's desire that it be granted to these Ephesians. As well as love. He says, "Peace to the brethren and love from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 14 times in Ephesus, Paul mentions the word love, for love is the key ingredient in the Christian life. You know, when Jesus was asked to identify the greatest of the commandments, he gave them two. He said, "Love God with all you've got and love your neighbor as yourself." So much is contingent on our loving God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." There's great blessings in store for those who love God. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that we can speak with tongues and move mountains and give all our money away to feed the poor, but without love, we ain't nothing. It's been said when God measures us, he doesn't wrap the tape around our minds or our muscles, but our heart. It's so important that we love God. And yet so often it's like keeping a flame alive on a windy day. There's so many strong winds that would want to blow in and snuff out that love. You realize it's the tendency of all love to grow cold. Someone once asked, "What's so remarkable about love at first sight?" It's when people have been looking at each other for 50 years that it becomes remarkable. It's true, isn't it? Love has a way of growing stale and stagnant, even in our relationship with God. Notice Paul's statement here in verse 24. Recipients of God's love are those who love him sincerely. Their love is untainted by hypocrisy. See, God doesn't expect us to be perfect or spotless. The psalmist says that God knows our frame, that we're but dust. And yet the one thing that God does expect is sincerity. Often when I officiate a wedding, I tell the couple, "None of us expect you to be perfect. We all know you. We know better. But we do expect you to be faithful." And this is also true in our love for God, that we remain loyal to God. You see, in the halls of heaven, you'll find gold and silver and pearls, but the one thing you won't find anything plastic or phony. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that all Christians will pass before the judgment seat of Christ, not to determine our salvation. It's not our faith that's being tested here, it's our works.
Listening to Bible teaching here on the radio is a huge blessing that many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world simply don't have. We rejoice in this opportunity to share Pastor Sandy's messages with you. We do want to be sure to remind you that radio is not a church. Radio should be a complement to what God is already doing in your personal discipleship through the local body of believers that you're a part of. Maybe you're listening today. You don't have a home church. You've visited various places, but nothing seems to fit. First, if you live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, we want to personally invite you to join us for worship at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. For more information, including driving directions, please log on to sandyadams.org and follow the link to the church website. Now, if you're listening outside of the Atlanta, Georgia area and are looking for a home church, we encourage you to log on to calvarychapel.com and find a Calvary Chapel in your area that teaches through the Bible just like Pastor Sandy does each day here on this program. Well, we wish we had more time today, but we've come to the close of today's broadcast. Be sure to remember to join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Sandy Adams Radio.